Man, people crazy at these streets, bro. I've been grinding since I was like 15 with this music, bro. I've learned that I can't please everybody. And there's been a lot of love, but there's also been misunderstanding, hate, and this box they put me in. And it makes them uncomfortable if I'm not in it.
DJ KJ.
And I ain't in it.
Whoa. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to I Went Out. I'm Annie. And today is a continuation of last Friday's episode where we broke down our top five offensive players of the 2010s, the last decade. So today we're continuing on, this time with the defensive side of the ball. And also, guys, we didn't forget offensive linemen. We just chose not to do that because that's a hard, are hard to kind of really rank, especially if you're not an offensive lineman guru.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I just think of one person you could throw out off the top is Joe Thomas.
Yes,
Joe Thomas, Jordan Gross,
Trent Williams. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Just
a couple names.
Yeah.
So, and again, like you said, that's a tough position
especially when you start getting to the interior.
Yes. Yeah.
From actually everything except left tackle, I feel like.
Yeah.
We can name five top left tackles, but once you start getting.
Absolutely. Centers, your guards, it gets tricky then.
Yeah. Kelsey brother, probably the best.
Yeah.
Center.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. You got the Pouncies.
Well, I like, in Carolina, I felt like Ryan Khalil was one of the top centers.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
that's right. That's hard too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, today we're doing defense. All right. But before we get into that, just a reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, and or Google Play. Leave us a rating and review. We greatly appreciate it. All right, guys, we're going to start with the defensive line. And so just to kind of explain this real quick, Nick and I, we both had this issue where ranking defensive linemen versus edge versus linebackers, because some of them kind of like
they move around.
They move around. So you may hear some names that he has on defensive line that I may have on edge or vice versa, or some that he may have on edge that I may have on linebacker or whatever. So forgive us for that, but you know,
it's part of the game.
Yeah, guys, move around. All right, so we're going to start with D-line. Nick?
Aaron Donald, number one.
Okay.
That dude is just an animal.
Yeah.
He's a freak of nature.
Yes, he is.
As big as he is, like, he's cut. Like, it don't even make sense.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big man.
Yeah.
He's not fat.
No, he's not.
Like, he is and to be an interior defensive lineman and to be as, like, he's not thin, but he's not fat.
Yeah.
He's thick.
Yeah, he's built, man.
But, like, it's crazy to me and just how dominant he really is. I mean, he wrecks havoc on that offensive line and on our opposing quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So that's why, in my mind, when he get drafted, like, 2013, something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, so, and I mean, in my mind, he's just worked his way. And if he keeps playing the level, he's definitely going to be, in my opinion, one of the best defensive tackles of all time.
Absolutely. No doubt.
Just the way he plays it. Number two, Fletcher Cox.
Okay.
I love the way he's ball. I wanted Fletcher Cox back in the draft, but, you know, other things happen. But I like Fletcher Cox's game. I think he's been getting hurt a little more here recently.
Yes.
Which is kind of sucks, but when he's healthy and when he's there, man, he's again, he's a force of nature.
Oh yeah.
Just overwhelming. You know about that.
Oh, I know it.
So yeah, Fletcher Cox. Number three, Ndamukong Suh.
Okay.
Besides stomping on people's hands, heads, whatever he's doing, he is, again, he's just one of those natural athletes that just – and pure strength. Like, this man will make a grown offensive lineman look like a baby.
Yeah.
The way he'll just move, like, throw you.
Yeah.
So I had to put him on there just on talent alone.
Yeah.
And he – even despite all of his on-the-field issues and getting in trouble on the field and all of his penalties and all his anger –
Albert Haynesworth.
Yes. He still put up numbers.
Yeah.
And he's still, like, you had, like, if you're not double teaming him, he's in your backfield. So he's on my list. Haloti Ngata is number four. I think he's also the one that broke RG3 in half, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
But again, he's another one. He's a big man. Big clog right there in the middle. I think he's labeled a nose tackle, I believe. But he's just a beast, and he was a beast for a long time.
Yeah.
So I had to put him on here. Number five, Gerald McCoy.
Okay.
he's also one of those thinner defensive linemen.
Right.
I mean, not thin, but he was not like, he's not like a Warren Sapp,
mm-hmm.
Or a Haloti Ngata.
Right.
But he again, I can speak to this because I played, he was like my Fletcher Cox.
Okay.
We played against him twice a season in every single game. Yeah. He's sacking Cam, he's sacking whoever.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just a beast. And then it was even last year when he played for Carolina for a season, mm-hmm. he still, even though he's older, he was killing it for a season, yeah. for parts of the time. So
yeah,
those are my five D linemen.
Okay. Okay. So you have four names that I don't have.
Hey, all right.
But I think part of that is too, because I did include, which I think you may have a couple of these as your edge.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably.
So number one, I have JJ Watt. And so yeah. I'm sure that's
yeah. He's on. Edge. He's an edge guy yeah, for me. Yep. Yeah,
I put him on D line, just because plays in a 4-3. So
yeah.
Sometimes I envision that as more so the DN.
Yeah.
But number two, Aaron Donald, like got to be on there. Yep. As you said, like probably going to go down as one of the best interior defensive linemen
yeah.
to ever play the game.
Yeah.
Number three, I showed some love to your guy. Julius Peppers.
Hey, see, I got him as edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, even not as a non-Panther with the Bears,
yeah.
he was still
yeah.
good, you know?
Yeah. And then he came back to us and was or then he went to Green Bay
yeah.
and killed it still.
That's right.
Then he came back to Carolina mm-hmm. and still put up 10 sacks at his old age. So
yeah.
the dude is a beast.
Yes. Yeah. I think he's gone a couple decades with just being dominant. Yep. So
he was drafted in 2000.
Yeah.
Or 2001 or whatever. I think,
right.
Yeah. Him and Steve Smith, I think, were in the same draft class. He was the number one overall pick, and then Steve Smith was the later pick.
That's crazy.
So
that's crazy. All right. Number four for me, I have – see, and I think I keep putting ends on here. I gave a edge to these ends. So I have Cam Jordan of the Saints.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I think is a bit underrated even to this day.
He is, because he is in the backfield every game against Carolina. So.
Yeah, yeah. And the times that the Redskins, I think he had a game where he had like 3 sacks against the Redskins.
Yeah. He's also a jerk.
Yes.
Sending a bottle of wine to my boy Cam like that, man.
Yeah. So he's my number four. Number five, I threw this name in here because he was kind of the Aaron Donald before Aaron Donald. Geno Atkins. The Bengals.
Yeah.
He's always been a very underrated.
Yeah.
And so I wrestled with putting Fletcher Cox on here. And I think I took Fletcher Cox off just because recently he has been injured a lot and yeah. has not been as dominant. Also, anytime he lined up against Trent Williams, he got dominated. So mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, but I put Geno Atkins on here because he was like the Aaron Donald before Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald kind of stole his thunder there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep. All right. Now we're going to move to edge.
Von Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's number one.
Got to.
He's just, it's insane to me how good mm-hmm. Von Miller really is. And drafted in the same draft class as Cam Newton, and him and Cam have been going at it since then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Von Miller single-handedly won that Super Bowl in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Just freak of nature.
Yeah.
But also, I really like him. Mm-hmm. I like the way he plays. I even like his style. He's just a weird, like...
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, he's...
Quirky
he's,
guy.
Yeah, he's out there.
Uh-huh.
So, Von Miller's number one, and I have J.J. Watt as number two.
Okay.
I mean, J.J. Watt speaks for himself.
Yeah.
Dog. Yeah. Number three, I got Khalil Mack.
Okay.
So, and again, like, I know Khalil and Von, they're technically labeled as linebackers,
mm-hmm.
But they are edge rushers all in the same... Especially in the... Because most... I think both of them are in 3-4s.
Right, right.
But I really like Khalil Mack, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love his style. I think about the game against Green Bay when he just lit up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Khalil Mack. I also got Michael Bennett.
Okay.
That's
a good one.
I love Michael Bennett. I love the way he plays. I love how he keeps it real.
Yeah.
He's just in there for me. So he's number four. And I sure love my boy J Pep.
Mm-hmm.
Julius Peppers is number five, but only because he's number one when it comes to early 2000s.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, he's definitely one of the top. I think he's number three or four on sacks list now. So he's definitely one of the best defensive ends or edge rushers of all time.
Yeah.
So those are my five edge rushers.
Yeah. So I agree, man, on number one, Von Miller. Complete dog, man. Yeah. And I want to share these stats real quick. Because when I was kind of researching some things on what to expect for Chase Young.
Yeah.
I just started researching some stats. And so Nick Bosa, in his rookie season, he had 9 sacks,
mm-hmm.
60 pressures, 25 QB hits. And Brian Arakpo, because he was a Redskin,
yep.
he had 11 sacks, 15 QB hits. But listen to this. Von Miller, in 2011, 11.5 sacks, 29 QB hits. Like, this dude is an animal.
Yes.
Always has been. Always will be.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's different, man.
He is.
He's different.
He is.
Yeah, so he deserves that number one.
Yes.
He definitely deserves that. Now I got to go back to my ranking here. Number two, I have Chandler Jones.
Hmm.
Chandler Jones.
Yeah, I have him as a linebacker.
Okay. Yeah. See, I put him as an edge. Was dominant with the Patriots,
yep.
and has been dominant with the Cardinals,
yep.
and very underrated.
Yes.
It's like nobody talks about him.
Yeah.
He just quietly posts stats every single year.
Yep.
He's who I wanted Preston Smith to be, and who Preston Smith has been playing well with the Packers.
Yeah.
But that's who Preston reminded me of, Chandler Jones. Number three, this goes back to the NFC East thing. I put DeMarcus Ware on here.
Yep.
Because still, even in his, you know, later in his career in the 2010s, he was dominant. Number four, first time showing some Homer love, Ryan Kerrigan.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, and I know most Redskins fans will agree that he's not the dominant type. Like, that's not who he is. But, like, he quietly posts his stats every single year, except last year. But since he's entered the league, he has been statistically one of the most, you know, one of the best pass rushers. So got to give him some love there. And number five, I put Khalil Mack. Only reason why I put Khalil Mack a little lower is just because, I don't know, I just feel like he's had this up and down where he's been super dominant 1 year, and then the next year he's kind of lowered off, or he's been like super dominant early in the season, and
yeah.
it's just like he kind of becomes a little quiet. But he has the ability to be almost what Von Miller is. Like, he has the ability to be up there.
You
know, Nick has him as three. He definitely has that ability. But I just lowered him just because of those inconsistencies
yep.
a little bit. All right, moving on to linebackers, I guess. We can label this, like, I don't know, true linebackers, although I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number one, Luke Kuechly.
Yes.
God, he's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is like having a coach on your field
yeah.
who can also just crack you mm-hmm. in a heartbeat. I mean, he is all over the field. I mean... Yeah, it's insane. Like, you see a tackle that's halfway down the field, like, wait, that's Luke? Good night, Luke. How'd you get there?
Yeah.
But the way he can just call out a play before it even happens. Mm-hmm. Like, this dude put in the work in the film room. Always doing. And, like, that's why I'm glad Carolina brought him back. Like, it sucked that he retired.
Yeah.
But he did. Like, concussions were no. Like, that was, I think, one of the most traumatic things is watching Luke on that cart look confused and crying. It's like, oh, man. Mm. So I mean, I completely understand why he's hanging it up,
right.
but he is definitely needs to be on coaching.
Yeah,
we hired him in our scouting department right now, but this dude needs to be a defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
if not a head coach,
like,
one day.
If he moves up in the scouting ranks, like, he could one day be a general manager.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah, he's that dude's a stud, man.
Yeah,
he knows football.
Yeah,
so I love Luke Kuechly. Yeah, he's definitely my top linebacker in 2010 in the 2010s. I have someone whose career was cut short, I feel like, by injuries, was Patrick Willis.
Okay.
The first half mm-hmm. of the 2010s, I really feel like between 2010 and 2015, like, Patrick Willis was the linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
He was a beast for the 49ers, and he wrecked havoc.
Yeah.
So, and again, I know his career ended in 2015, but before that, like, he was,
yes, he was.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
And then number three, I have DeMarcus Ware. Okay. So I know you had him labeled as an edge rusher, but I have him as a linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, everything you said about this dude's work spoke for itself. Yeah.
He's a really good guy, too.
Yes.
I have to give him that, even though he's a Cowboy.
Yeah, yeah. He's not one of them gloating dudes. Yeah. Like, he was, yeah, he's a stud. Number four, I have Chandler Jones.
Okay.
And I think, like you said, like, he is so underrated. Like, no, they, you don't even hear, I feel like I've never heard his name on ESPN or the NFL Network. Like, they just don't talk about him, but he is just consistently putting up numbers, consistently just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Chandler Jones, number four. Number five, I got Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
From the Seahawks. I know him and Kuechly were kind of tied because they came in the same draft class, but I still feel like Kuechly definitely takes the edge. Just on being, I know Wagner has a few more Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But he is just not the same when it comes to, like, just being a coach on the field. Like, I feel like Luke Kuechly is, like, just one of the best of all time, just being able to see things.
No doubt.
As fast as he was able to see them and decipher them.
Yeah.
I have an honorable mention.
Okay.
London Fletcher.
Okay. I don't hate that.
I think, because when did he officially hang it up, though? He's old. He was old.
Yeah, he was old. I don't know what year that was. That could have been, like, 2016, maybe?
But before that, man, like, he was doing it.
Yeah.
As old as he was, like, he was a force to be dealt with on the field.
Yeah, 2014, I think.
Yeah, as I said, like, it was early. Yeah. It was the earlier 2010s where he was still a force to reckon with. That's why, like, he's not in my top five, but I feel like he's an honorable mention just because
I don't hate that.
He was good and he was doing it. So
yeah, I actually did think about that for a minute there. Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I won't call him not a great person. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's another one of those guys that is, like, super arrogant.
But
yeah, great player.
Yeah,
great
yeah.
player. Although the Redskins, they inducted him into the Ring of Fame last year.
Oh, really?
And they misspelled his name on the Jumbotron. They called him London Flechter.
Flechter?
Yes.
All right, hey.
How do you do this?
Oh, yeah. Good Lord.
All right, so my linebackers, and again, you know, some of my the ones that I had, Nick had, and his linebackers. Mm. So number one, I agree completely. Kuechly is there. Absolutely. Yeah, always been a dog, man.
Yeah.
Number two, this may surprise some people, but I have Navarro Bowman here.
Ah, I don't hate that at all. I like that a lot.
Yes. Prince George's County.
Yep.
That's my guy. Yeah. Had a chance to cover a couple of his off-the-field events. Him a lot. And even in his – when Patrick Willis and him were in their prime.
Yeah.
It was an argument that Bowman was better.
Yeah.
It was like a true argument. But because of where Willis was drafted, I think, and also just his big impact plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number three, I have Bobby Wagner.
Okay.
I agree. You know, Kuechly is definitely better.
Yeah.
But Wagner has been great for the Seahawks. He has been
consistent.
You know, yeah, consistent.
Yep.
Yep. Number four is where I have Patrick Willis. I think he deserves to be on there, even though he cut his career short.
Yeah.
But he was still dominant
when
he was playing. Number five, I really struggled trying to figure out who my fifth one was going to be. So I did think about London Fletcher here, but I put Derek Johnson, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes. Yeah.
Another one of those guys that kind of was, like, super underrated, but consistent year in and year out, and you know, was a really good linebacker.
What about Houston? Neither one of us put him on edge or linebacker.
That's true. We did not.
Because I consider him in both, and I like his.
Yeah.
He's good. I just found it interesting. Neither one of us put him on there.
Yeah. I didn't even consider him.
Yeah.
I didn't consider him.
Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's not on it.
No.
He didn't make it.
Yeah. Sorry, right. man. Hopefully you're not listening.
All right. All right. Cornerbacks.
Cornerbacks. Richard Sherman.
Okay.
Talks the trash and backs it up until he runs into Trent Williams.
Yeah. And now they're teammates.
Yeah, that's true. I just love Richard Sherman, man. I didn't love playing against him or hearing his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he's just one of them guys, man. He was out there and he locked it down.
Yeah.
So yeah, Richard Sherman, number one. I've got Revis Island as number two.
Okay.
Darrell Revis was just a stud.
Yeah.
For a long time. Yeah.
That's
I don't know what else I can really say about Darrell Revis other than Revis Island.
Yeah.
Number three, I got Patrick Peterson.
Okay.
I think especially him coming right out the gate, he was a stud right out of college. And even the impact he could make on the return game. I know that, how it goes with most. Once they realize, oh, you really are a stud quarterback, we're not having you returning kicks anymore. Yeah.
Easily could have been one of the greatest return men of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So he's number three. I have Stephon Gilmore as number four.
Okay.
Or Stephen Gilmore, however you want to read
Stephon.
It. Yeah. I think he is really coming to his own.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say, but I like him.
Yeah.
I wrestled with number five.
Okay.
Because I absolutely cannot stand this individual. And it's Aqib Talib.
Okay.
I do not like him.
Really?
I think it's because him and Steve Smith used to get into it all the time.
I was about to say, he was a buck.
He was a buck. So. And then I remember my favorite Steve Smith line of all time was directed to Aqib Talib when he was a Patriot, and it was, "Ice up, son."
Yes. I remember that.
I did not like Aqib Talib again, just because of the bouts between him and Steve. Because Steve Smith's a hothead. Aqib Talib's a hothead. You put two hotheads together, they're going to blow up.
Right.
Don't
wear a chain across from him.
But I do think Aqib Talib had a good game.
Yeah.
I think he had some lapses in his game. Mm-hmm. By no means was he a perfect cornerback, but I do think he was solid.
Yeah.
So he rounded it out for my top five.
Absolutely. All right. I have Revis as my number one. Yeah, self-explanatory.
Yep.
Revis Allen, he was dominant.
Yeah.
Yes,
Yes.
Kind of fell off a little bit. He was okay with the Patriots.
Yeah.
He went to the Super Bowl with them. He was okay.
Yeah.
But, towards the very end of his career, even when he went back to the Jets, he wasn't the same. Number two, I have Patrick Peterson. Just the athleticism.
Yeah.
Just the ability to be a game changer.
Yep.
I have him there. Richard Sherman is my three. I like Richard Sherman a lot. Super smart, great player and stuff. It's always been something about him I haven't liked.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't know what it is. It's just, I don't know. I don't know.
It was all that trash he was talking. And you,
yeah.
That's why you like Trent Williams smacking him.
Right. Yeah, and I think part of it, too, is because I've always said like he's one of those system corners.
Yeah.
And he's kind of actually back in a system
that
allows him to, play in a way that he's – and that he's comfortable and can make plays.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't hate that either. He still has been dominant in two places. So, he's my third. Yeah. Number four, Aqib Talib. I have always been a big fan of Aqib Talib.
Okay.
There's been several times where he was almost a Redskin and it just didn't go down.
Okay.
Because Bruce Allen was, with the Buccaneers. Yeah. So it's that connection. But I've always loved Aqib Talib. And he's bounced around to plenty of places and has been dominant in most of those places.
Yeah.
I give Keep a lot of respect. And also because he's overcome a lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of off-field issues and stuff. He's overcome it and has still been dominant.
Yep.
Number five. I kind of wrestled with this one too. But I threw him on here. Jalen Ramsey.
All right. I thought about it.
Yeah.
I think my biggest, the thing that held me back from putting him on mine was just how young he is still.
Yeah.
But do not hate that pick at all.
Yeah.
Like he is I don't like the way he talks.
Yeah.
He's a little sweet with
He is. And, he's something else.
And, it's like, how you play football, bro? Talking.
Right. Right.
you all sensitive and everything.
Yeah, man. He is.
So,
he is.
Yeah.
He's,
but no, his game is, it's, yeah.
He's a better Aqib Talib to me. Like a better, like more athletic. Aqib Talib.
Yeah. I don't know if I like him with the Saints, though. Or not the Saints, the Rams.
Well, he's a free agent next year.
Oh, okay.
And the Redskins just so happen to have a lot of cap space next year.
There you go.
He also, I think, shares an agent with Dwayne Haskins.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Look at you.
Yeah.
You ready.
He's been interacting with Dwayne on Twitter a little bit and calls him his little brother. So.
Oh, all right. So.
The Redskins also need a cornerback.
You don't want Josh Norman back?
Nah.
Definition of a system cornerback.
Yes, that is it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I kind of hope Jalen Ramsey is a Redskin this year.
That would be cool.
Yeah. All right, safeties.
Eric Weddle's number one.
Okay.
I think it's just his beard sticking out of his helmet. Yeah. But no, I really think he was probably one of the most consistent safeties through the 2010s out of most.
Yeah.
Between San Diego and Baltimore, I think he was just consistent. He was always, and I just like the way he played.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's my number one. Earl Thomas is my number two.
Okay.
And I did wrestle with Earl Thomas being number one. Mm-hmm. So
same.
Yeah, like he is just, he's just consistent.
Yeah.
And he got done dirty.
Yeah, he did.
By Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But Earl Thomas, I mean, just think of, just remembering that defense.
Yeah.
And it's prime with, and I do have Cam Chancellor on here as well. Same. He's number three.
Mm-hmm.
But those two, Richard Sherman, like it was insane. That it was crazy.
Yeah.
I just remember Cam Chancellor running down from the backfield and hopping over our offensive line and sacking our quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, to moving on from Earl Thomas to Cam Chancellor, Cam Chancellor's number three and he's a beast.
Yep.
He is a linebacker playing safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know once he, I think it was New Orleans he went to, and it just didn't pan out being the same.
Yeah.
So you could kind of label that maybe a system type of thing. But right. when he was in Seattle, he was just a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, he was.
Number four, who in my opinion it might be, is definitely great, one of the greatest of all time, is Troy Polamalu. And I put him on here. I know, you know, he didn't play all the 2010s, like he, but in 2010 he was still in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he retired in 2014, maybe 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, he was a beast.
Yeah, he was.
He was all over the field, and you can keep track of him because he has beautiful locks.
Yes.
So
yeah.
But yeah, Troy Polamalu is number four for me.
Yeah.
Number five is Eric Berry.
Okay.
I know we talked a little bit about this beforehand.
Yep.
But I love Eric Berry. I love his story too. Like getting, like just coming back the way he came back, and I just like Eric Berry, so he's number five for me.
Yeah. Cool. So the only one I don't have is Troy Polamalu, and I did actually consider that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Troy.
I mean, because he was a talent. He was early on in 2010. Yeah. He didn't play the whole time. So, like, that's why I wrestled. But again, like, I think he's just one of the best.
Yeah. He's what Tyrann Mathieu is not quite there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's kind of what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hall of Famer. Excellent player. But so, my number one, I agree with you on the first three. I just have one and two flips. So, I have Earl Thomas first. Ultimate center fielder, just constant playmaker. No doubt at all about him being at least one or two there. And I agree, Eric Weddle has to come after that or before that. You know, I don't even mind either one, you know, being number one. Weddle, excellent player in San Diego, excellent player with the Baltimore Ravens, and still going. So, number three, I have Cam Chancellor. Shout out 757. My family's from down in, you know, the Norfolk area and Hampton Roads and stuff, and so he's always had a soft spot in my heart.
There you go.
And number four, I have Devin McCourty.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I wrestled with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if it wasn't for Troy Polamalu, it'd probably be Devin McCourty,
isn't it? Yeah, I think because I've always kind of given an edge to those center fielders. Those guys who just play like that true free safety, because they are so hard to find. Like you just can never find them.
Yep.
And number five, I did end up putting Eric Berry here. I wrestled between Eric Berry and Harrison Smith, who I feel like also could definitely be top five. I think he's super underrated.
Before the show, you were saying Harrison Smith's one of the most underrated guys.
Yeah.
And he really is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, he plays the game well and has been doing it for a while now and quietly.
Yeah.
Being a great player. But yeah, Eric Berry, he does what he did well. Yeah. You know, and he's still playing, but you know, what he did in his prime.
Yeah.
He did well. And it's kind of what I think, you know, Landon Collins could be, you know, if he continues maturing as a player. And he's, you know, he played well last year, but but Eric Berry, one of those guys that just is an enforcer uphill.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Best defensive player right now.
Right now.
Who's under the age of 25.
Huh. That's a curveball right there, Nick. Who would you say?
I'd say Nick Bosa.
Okay.
Watching him in San Fran last year was, he's a stud.
Okay.
I think he's definitely better than his brother, Joey.
Yes, he is.
So Nick Bosa is definitely in there.
Okay. How old is Jalen Ramsey?
He qualifies.
Does he?
Yep.
I will put Jalen Ramsey.
There you go.
But I love Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
Like, great player. Dominant. I just seen it longer with Ramsey.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he would be my top under 25 as a defensive player.
Yeah.
But
nah, he's good.
But hopefully we have number 99, Chase Young.
I know, like, Chase Young's a beast,
pulling
man.
Up, man.
Like, right now, if 5 years from now, I feel like that'll be the guy.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be like, man, he's been killing it year in and year out since then. Like, yeah, just watching his tape and the things that he can do, it's just sick.
Yeah. You know who else could like, he wasn't healthy last year, but Derwin James.
Yeah, I like Derwin James.
He had an outstanding rookie season.
Yep.
A lot of people compared him to Sean Taylor. He's not Sean, but what he is a dominant defensive player, and he was able to play on three levels of the defense. Backfield, played uphill, played in the middle. I mean, anywhere you needed to put him, he was dominant.
Yeah.
So,
well, I just like those guys. Like Simmons. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing Simmons playing for Arizona this year, like what he can do.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, we got the poor man's version in Jeremy Chinn. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of good young defensive players.
Yeah.
So, like, I think, you know, I know this is biased, like Brian Burns for Carolina.
Okay.
That dude is shifty.
Yeah, he is.
I know he goes from linebacker to edge, but he's just one of them shifty dudes who can, when he gets his wheels going, he's going in the backfield.
Yeah, he is.
So,
he is.
Yeah, there's just a lot of young talent out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even TJ Watt. I like TJ Watt, too.
He is good.
For the Steelers.
Yeah, he gets overshadowed by his brother.
Yep.
But, he's good. Yep. Yeah. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that. And just a reminder to subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes. And leave a rating and review. It would be greatly appreciated. We'll talk to you guys soon.
See you.
Peace.